All right, everyone, welcome back into another Fantasy Golf video. Have the Masters Lineup Builder video here for you guys, which, if you guys are unfamiliar with this, is going to be breaking down the core plays, the cash plays, getting into some ownership, and getting into some advantages that could be there, specifically more so in the weather. I also do have a cool update that I made to the 9to5sports.com custom model, which I'm excited to get into, you guys, so I'll be touching on that as well. But first, let's start off with my general thoughts for this slate via the 9to5 write-up. So if you guys are ever wondering where you can get the 9to5 write-up, it is available on Thursdays on the 9to5sports.com homepage. You just scroll down a little bit right there. It's also going to be under the golf tab, and then you go to tournament write-up, either or. So you click on that. That'll get my weekly write-up, which is a detailed breakdown of everything you need to know for that week's tournament without going too much into it. Like, I try to really curate it for you guys and really minimize the fluff, just get into the important stuff that matter. It's a good read each and every week when I don't have typos, which I do. It's I do a lot of work, don't always have the longest amount of time to read through the write-up as much. So apologies when that does occur. But I do think it's worth calling out, guys. I want to talk about the outright bets, because for whatever reason thus far this year, the 9to5 AI outright predictor has been pretty good at telling us when it's going to be an easy week to predict. So far, it's 3 for 3. This is going to be the fourth week in which, on paper, it seems easy to predict. And this is something that I've noticed in retrospect. So what I mean by that is, I think a lot of people would say that in terms of like predictability, especially Vegas odds-wise and whatnot, this year has been a little bit more difficult to predict than most years, for whatever reason that is. I don't really know. The one thing that I have noticed is that during tournaments in which there's only two good outright bets, they have been more difficult to predict, or one outright bet, or maybe none. Those have been much more difficult to predict, which does make sense. So what goes into the 9to5 outright data tag is looking at the past 2 years winners on the PGA Tour, and then just filtering in which golfers would meet those data thresholds to be considered good outright bets for that week. Okay, so that's just what we're doing there. So this week we can see we have a ton. And so to me, that might tell us that this week is going to be an easier week to predict on paper, which I hope that ends up being true. So if you guys want to use any of those, you can. But really, this is what I'm focused on. These are going to be my core plays. And I think it kind of sucks that my three favorite plays are going to be golfers that are higher owned. Now, maybe I have a part in that. I don't really think so. You look at like Martin Laird last week, who was like a clear, cheap value play. He was like 2% owned. It was super strange. And if anything, throughout the years, I've established that the best values come from, I don't want to say me, I don't want to be too cocky, but I give out a lot of pretty good values out there. So, you know, I think that's a big edge in my data. But that being said, those three players are going to be the highest owned players, I think, for good reason. I'll touch on ownership leverage first, but I just kind of want to show you guys the breakdown here. These are going to be the players that I'm trying to emphasis on getting on the most, especially in like 20 entry max contests. If it's 150 entry max contest, I'll show you some different ways that you guys can get unique with your player pool and the players you want to be on. But this is my way of saying, like, if I want to be on core plays and they're not pulling into the 9to5 lineup builder, I'll bump those guys up significantly, like 15 fantasy points, just to tell the data I want to be on those guys as much as possible, or as much as the max exposure I want is possible. Then these guys would be next, maybe 10 fantasy points, then maybe 5, then maybe 3. If that makes sense, where you're kind of telling the data how you want to prioritize those plays. But I don't really want to mess with the lineup optimizer too much. It's already doing the work for us, so I don't really like to change too much. But just as an FYI, that's how I go about doing that. But yes, let's start out with the ownership leverage. So the reason why I came out with this tool, you know, a couple years ago is because I would hear or see a lot of people talking about ownership, saying, oh, this golfer is too high owned to be on, to roster, or this golfer is too low owned, you should be on them more. And it was really without, it was kind of reckless the way people were doing it. And I still think it is. A lot of people are not using this tool for whatever reason, even though it's probably one of my favorite tool on the website, because it's extremely accurate and gives me a weekly edge. And if anything, it just steers us in the right direction. But looking at the most owned golfers on the slate, guys, looking at it right now, we got Scotty, Xander, Hideki. And so someone might be like, oh, Xander's the second highest owned player on the slate. That's too high owned for him. You know, they might just come up with some sort of reason as to why he might be too high owned to be on. When in actuality, when we look at the Vegas leverage rank, which is pulling in the odds to make the cut and also the odds to win, which is somewhat what the 9to5 model is doing as well, measuring both safety and upside. So those two will correlate, but we'll see some decent differences here and there in that data. But either way we slice it, he is coming in as a great leverage rank play. He is actually a little bit under-owned compared to how he's projected to play based off of the data. You could argue he should be higher owned. Now, this is a major, and if we go down and scroll to like which golfers are going to be the most under-owned, this typically happens in a field where there's a lot of great options, where there's a lot of great plays, and the differences are very minimal to the point where because the ownership is spread out, a lot of the golfers end up being a little bit under-owned, a little bit undervalued, which just naturally occurs. But the way I like going about looking at ownership this week is more so based off of their prices. So like, for example, let's look at the most over-owned golfers. The few that stick out to me are Will Zalatoris, Brooks Koepka, Russell Henley, and Bryson DeChambeau, because they're all double-digit in terms of ownership, projected ownership. These values here, like Danny McCarthy, I don't mind. I would say at 10% probably is a little bit over-owned, but I get it. That's not going to hurt you too much. Taylor Moore is probably my favorite value play, 9%. You know, I'm kind of okay eating that. And then Austin Ekeroth as well, where like I am on those two golfers, the last two. I'm probably not changing it too much. Now, last week, that happened as well, where Harris English and Benny Ann were both coming in as over-owned golfers. They destroyed a lot of builds. Last week, the most over-owned golfers, I think it was 10 for 10 in terms of golfers that did not hit their return value finishing position, which is a measure of how they're projected to play, where they need to finish based off of their ownership to return or exceed the value based off of that projected ownership. I believe it was 10 for 10. It might have been 8 for 10, but anyways, it was very predictive. Now, that's not the case every single week by any means. This is a tool for fantasy golf. Some weeks, certain spots are going to be a little bit more predictive. I think everyone knows that. This is not an end-all be-all. Some weeks, the ownership leverage is much better. 2 weeks ago, my best lineup was just pulling in the top five golfers in ownership leverage and then like the 11th best just based off his salary. That's who I could fit in. End up getting 6 for 6, ended up finishing like 12th in a GPP, which didn't win much because it was 12th in a GPP, which you really need to finish like top five. But anyways, it was predictive. So like each week's a little bit different. So for me, the overall consensus is that honestly, the ownership's pretty correct this week. Like as a whole, we're not getting that many big edges. But I do think there are some slight edges when we look at it in terms of like these few players that might be coming in over-owned. So let's look at them. So like when we look at Brooks Koepka compared to the other golfers around him, I think that's where we can see somewhat of an edge. So when we look at Brooks Koepka here, guys, like it makes more sense to get to someone like Tagala, who based off of his ownership and how he's projected to play, or sorry, that's Shane Lowry, based off of his ownership and how he's projected to play and everything, he is coming in a little bit too low owned compared to Brooks Koepka, who's also much higher priced than him. Okay, but really what I want to look at it is based off of price. So let's do that. So right away, we get a direct pivot. Wyndham Clark is currently the best leverage right play in the field. Whether you guys agree with that or not, that's up to you. The reason why he's being pulled in this way is because Vegas really values him as someone that can have a really good week. And he has played really well thus far this season. The reason why people are not on him is simply because he hasn't made a start here professionally. Where in Augusta is a course where you need a lot of course experience. That being said, Vegas and the 9-to-5 data is telling you a better play on paper in terms of leverage compared to Brooks Koepka. Wyndham Clark at this ownership and price is only being valued as a top 30 finisher, whereas Brooks Koepka needs to provide a top 10 finish for you guys. You could also mention Xander. Now he's higher owned, but because he's a better play on paper both via Vegas and the 9-to-5 model, you could get to him a little bit more. And so that's going to be the case when we scroll down a little bit lower. So like another player that was coming in over-owned, and I really don't get this one, is Bryson DeChambeau. It's like, I don't like, even if you look for reasons as to why Bryson's a good play this week, it's tough to find him. It's more or less you just love Bryson. And I've made that mistake with Bryson at the Masters before. He's a fun player to cheer for. He should not be 10% owned. He should probably be 5% owned. And the reason why I would say he should be 5% owned is in case he does find that random upside, in case he is very on with his driver and not spraying the ball everywhere and making very big crucial mistakes. That could occur. It's just not that likely. Like compared to Max Homa, Max Homa is a slightly better option. But then we go down to someone like Shane Lowry, who's 5% higher owned, but still a better play on paper. You are actually gaining leverage on the field if you are a little bit overweight on the field with Shane Lowry because he's projected to be a better option. And then another one is going to be Willie Z. Honestly, the biggest issue with someone like Will Zalatoris is that he's just too high price for how he's projected to play. Like, he hasn't had that many starts here. You would actually probably be better off going with a slightly lower owned Aubert, who also doesn't have that much course experience. I mean, none professionally, but like still a better option there. And then Jordan Spieth at the exact same ownership is slightly projected to play better. you'd be better off going with them. But at the same time, you would just be better off getting to Hideki or even Cameron Smith, who are both better plays on paper and are coming in about the same ownership or so, especially with Cameron Smith there. But again, guys, like, it's just those slight differences that you can make to gain edge. To me, I think the biggest difference could be in the weather. And I'll get into that in just a second. But let's say you want to make some lineups just solely based off of ownership leverage. You don't want your lineup to be too chalky and you want it to be a little bit unique. What you could do is just go to custom model data, type in leverage here, and you could either do leverage rank or Vegas leverage rank. You could do both. It doesn't really matter. Whatever. Let's just do both. And so this is going to pull in kind of an average based off of that data. And then if you scroll down, you can see which golfers are going to be the highest projected in terms of fantasy points based off of that. And so what you could do is then export this data, export. And then what you would do is you would hit the upload button right here and it would upload that data. And so if you wanted to do 20 unique lineups that way, that's how I'd go about doing that. And so you can also do that with the weather. So we do know that the weather is going to be bad. We already know that. Now, that is something I'm already factoring into the data. But let's just say you want to get the best golfers on bad weather tracks over their past 20 starts. That's fine. But what I would suggest doing is also just keep in the 9-to-5 mile rank. That is already curated data for you guys for that week's tournament. That's already going to be dialed in for you guys. Now, if you guys want to just look at outright odds instead, or with that, you can do that as well. I don't mind including that into this sort of data set. And so you can factor that in there. Now, one of the unique characteristic things that I added in for this week and going forward is going to be an emphasis on tee times. And so if you guys wanted to do like AM PM differences, you can. So maybe a slight AM PM advantage. Basically, you want to get four of your golfers from the AM and maybe two in the PM or vice versa. You could also do it extreme where you're basically telling the data, I want only AM golfers or I want only PM golfers. You can do that. Or what you could do is put an emphasis on the earliest tee times. So with the Masters, where everyone's, it's not like an AM or PM start, it's kind of just down a list. You might want to put an emphasis on the earliest or the latest tee times. And so this week, I do think that that is something that can be crucial. So for example, we'll just put in the earliest tee times right now. And if you only did that, well, then it's literally just ranking golfers based off of when they go off. So you wouldn't want to do that. Because if you scroll down here, that's what the projected fantasy points would be based off of then. You don't want to do that. So what you would want to do, and this is where I said just include the 9-to-5 model data in there. That's what you would want to do. Model rank included in there, outright rank in there as well. If you guys want to put more of an emphasis on like something like green speeds or bad weather, you could do that as well. I don't think we need to go too crazy with that. We're good to go. But I did want to call that out. That would put a little bit more of an emphasis on those early AMT time golfers. Now, let's just talk about the weather. Why might you want to do that? Well, looking at the projected weather for this week, guys, we're going to see that on Thursday, it is going to be very windy, 19 mile per hour winds, but we're also going to see some precipitation in there, some rain. And sorry, I think there's a slight worry that there could be some lightning or some thunder that would delay the tournament. And that's where we could get a big edge. So really, there's going to be three scenarios that occur here. One, there's no delay and the wind is just windy for Thursday and Friday. There's not a big difference in terms of players that get an edge. Great. The other option would be that because it's supposed to be kind of rainy on Thursday, that maybe on Friday morning, the greens are a little bit softer before the wind and elements can really get to it. And maybe the greens dry out a little bit more on Friday. Thus, golfers that are going off from the AM PM split struggle a little bit more. Or maybe there is a delay to the point where the golfers that are going off on Thursday AM, maybe round one doesn't finish until Friday because of a delay. And then maybe because of that, the golfers that had the AM PM split end up having to finish the rounds on Saturday, which would then create a significant edge because the weather right now does not project to be too crazy. That's very manageable. 9 mile per hour winds is nothing. So that could be a big edge. And so for me, really what I want to do when I'm looking at creating lineups based off of potential weather advantages is doing something like this, where I'm going to create some based off of the earliest tee times, and I'm also going to base some off of the latest tee time. And I think that can be crucial. It's a good way to create some unique lineups that no one else will really be on. And if there is a significant advantage one way or the other, you are going to have that advantage over the field. You can also do that for round one showdown currently. I'm going to be adding more and more stuff into this, but if you wanted to do like round one, let's say you wanted to do it for round one, well, you could do that as well, but it's just not going to be pulling in any of those live golfers, just as an FYI. So little bit of a constraint there. But that is how I'm going to be going about attacking this tournament in about half of my lineups. The other half, I'm just going to treat it as a normal week. And so what I mean by that is I'm just going to let the lineup optimizer do what it's designed to do, which is spit out the best lineups. I might do a little bit of tweaks here and there. Like one thing that I had to do is Scottie Scheffler's fantasy projection is 112. And so if I just keep it at that, guys, we're only getting Scottie Scheffler at about 10%. I want to be on Scottie a bunch. Thus, what I went ahead and did was I raised his fantasy point projection up to 120 so that I'm telling the data I want to be on him more. And so that is one of the slight corrections that I made. Again, I want the data to do what the data wants to do pretty much. And so yes, there's some nuances that I need to adjust in this data. But when I do the settings at three unique players, 35% max exposure without really adjusting anything, it's already giving me the plays that I want to be on. And so honestly, in this event, 35% max exposure is probably a little bit too aggressive. You could probably just do 25%, really spread out your ownership and try to get that one good lineup. And for this, I'd probably do about, let's say, 50 lineups. Just, all right, data, do what you want to do without me adjusting it too much. And so those ownerships would be about 26% Hideki, Cameron Smith. Some people might be worried about that with the food poisoning stuff. I am not. Some people also might be worried about Scottie as well, just as an FYI. His wife is pregnant. She's like 8.5 months pregnant. Same thing with Sam Burns, his wife apparently as well, who is more close to having her baby than Scottie's. Apparently both guys could withdraw if their wife goes into labor. It doesn't seem likely, but I like, who knows, right? That's pretty, I don't want to say that's random. It's not random, but if it does happen, yeah, that's just something out of our control, out of their control. But these would be the exposures, and I'm pretty okay with them. Like maybe drop Siwoo a little bit. I am slightly worried about Siwoo just in bad weather situations. Like if we get it, get back into this, let's go to bad weather really across the board, no matter how we present it. Siwoo Kim is someone that is not a good bad weather player. He's actually, if we like look at the average odds or the averages, forget exactly where he is, like 40th out of like 80 golfers, 50th out of 80 golfers. So he's really not that good in bad weather situation historically or recently as well. So that's a slight concern that I have for him, but it is supposed to get better throughout the weekend. And maybe that's a slight edge. He gets a little bit better throughout the weekend. But again, I do think it's good to plan based off of hard scoring, bad weather events, just all that stuff. Just be a little bit unique as well. I do think this is very interesting with Wyndham Clark. Wow, look at that guy. So 20 events ago, 41st in the field, he would be 15 events ago, 31st. And I think that just echoes his ball striking. Same thing with Denny McCarthy, who had a good week last week, and it was pretty windy last week as well. So you know, there's a little bit of something there. That's interesting there. But that's a good example of how data can be skewed. That's why I like to pull in averages and look at everything. But that is going to do it for the lineup builder video. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the coverage. If you did, make sure to give a like and subscribe. If you guys want access to the tools at 95sports.com, head on over there. They're available for $10 a month. It's the best value. I do that for you guys. But that's going to be all. Thanks for watching. And as always, let's keep cashing.